Jesus. We are continuing our series on the holiness of God, and we've broken this subject down into three components, I guess is the best way to say it. We talked about understanding and knowing who God is as it pertains to His holiness. We have very little knowledge and understanding of that, although I think over the last few months and weeks we're gaining some understanding of just who God is as it pertains to His holiness and how that holiness ought to be reflected in our lives, but how it ought to interact with our thinking and our living every single day. So we were working on understanding the holiness of God and who God is through His holiness. Secondly, we talked about who we are as it pertains to the heinousness of our sin. So you got the holiness of God and the heinousness of our sin. You have that in direct polar opposites of each other. And now we're going to talk about a subject that we really haven't taught here at Word of Life in the previous 18 years, and that's the glorification. What is glorification? We want to understand what that means. We need to understand who God is as it pertains to His holiness. We need to understand who we are as it pertains to the heinousness of our sin. And we need to understand what glorification is. And I'm going to say as it pertains to the holiness of God. Why does there even need to be glorification? And we're going to talk about that. So let's start with a working definition as best we can to have some idea what this is that we are talking about. Glorification, and I'll repeat these a few times. Glorification is the theological term used to describe at the end of time God's final removal of sin from the lives of believers as they enter into their eternal state. So I want to say that again, then I want to explain that. So glorification is a theological term used to describe at the end of time, that's not going to happen before then, God's final removal of sin from the believer, from the Christian, as we enter into our eternal state. Because for us, after death is a judgment, and then after that for us is eternity with Him. Of course, there's going to be eternity for the sinner too, but that would be in hell as opposed to ours being in the presence of God. So it is a theological term used to describe at the end of time God's final removal of sin from the lives of Christians as they enter into their eternal state. Sin is going to be removed from us once and for all. That's good news.
Yes,
it
is.
The greater glories of heaven are phenomenal. Streets of transparent gold. We've never seen gold like that in our life. We won't while we're down here. Because even the purest gold down here is tainted with sin. Streets, the gold up there is transparent. Gates of pearls, emeralds, and all other sort of gems and diamonds and rubies and so forth. You have no artificial light because the new heaven and earth will be enlightened by the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some great things. But I think the most glorious thing about heaven is that there is no more sin.
Amen.
Streets of gold is cool. Pearly gates, wonderful. Never ever being tempted with sin. No longer can sin, cannot sin. Let that register. And we can't really. That's why we can't understand holiness, because we can't understand no sin. They're just beyond us. But that's what glorification is. And Father God, help us to begin to let this sink into our hearts and our minds that there is one day going to be, you're going to allow us to enter into a state of glorification where there is no sin in our lives. Help us to begin to grasp this, which we can't without Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The final removal of sin from the lives of believers once and for all. Amen. And at that point, we cannot sin. And we never will sin again. How can you rejoice on that when it's rarely taught? We don't know anything about it. We can rejoice because it's all in the Word. Now, the actual word glorification is not in the Bible. Root forms of it, doxa, and where you get doxology, which talks about glory, that's in there, but the actual word of glorification isn't in there. But the process is, it's all over the Word of God. Glorification, I have here, exists as one of three parts of the process of salvation. That includes justification, which is being made right with God, right? Which is the removal of sin initially. Then there's sanctification, which is the ongoing process of becoming holy. And then there's glorification, which is the final removal of sin. So you have the three-part process, like a better term, of salvation. So all of it would come up under the umbrella of salvation. Salvation has three parts, and we're in the first two phases of it. The first one, justification, is past. We've already been saved, and at that point, we were declared righteous. That's what righteousness is. It's being made right with God. Because as a sinner has the wrath of God hanging over their heads, in a sense. They are under the wrath of God. Everyone ever born was born that way, except for Jesus, who was born without a father. Comes up under the wrath of God. We are, by nature, vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction. Every single one of us. What God does, He comes along and resurrects our spirits from the dead, and then with that resurrection of our spirit from the dead, spiritually speaking, then comes the hunger and thirsting after the things of God. And then in the Old Testament, where it says, seek me with your whole heart, if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. That seeking comes because we've been made alive. So at that moment, we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness. And then before God, we look like Jesus. That's right. That's the first phase of salvation. And that's called justification. We've been justified. We've been made righteous. We've been declared not guilty. And that's really incredible.
Amen.
Because we're guilty than a mug. How in the world are you going to talk about not guilty? What? Well, because all your sins have been forgiven. The price you're supposed to pay, the debt you're supposed to pay has been paid. The death you're supposed to die has been died. Has been taken care of. And so now, since all that's taken care of, I find you not guilty. Now, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Back in the day, remember when I first started hearing all this, I was like, well, you can't preach that because Christians, they don't think they can just go ahead and sin and this and the other. If that's your mindset, you're not saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you don't want, because again, when your spirit was made alive and you were justified, you were made righteous. You are now in right standing before God, able to come into His presence boldly to the throne of grace and no longer wrath. Then what has happened there is a love of God has been put inside of you as well. And so you don't just want to go out and purposely find loopholes so that you can keep sinning. Because the Holy Spirit that now resides in you when you were made alive is going to coach you away from that. You've been given the strength to fulfill living a holy life, and the desire to please God becomes more abundant than ever before. And that all that grows too. All that grows. Everything is just like a flower, plant, grass, children, you grow. How do you grow? Hearing the word. Peter talks about the sincere, true, real, genuine, pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Milk, not milk as opposed to meat, but milk. Just let you know that that's what the word, the milk is referring to the word. The word causes you to grow just like milk causes a baby to grow. And you will never not, not a good, not well-constructed sentence, but you'll never not need the word. You'll always need, we will always need the word to grow.
Amen.
You never get to a point where you're so grown in the things of God that you no longer need the word.
Amen.
That's like saying a human being is grown now, they no longer need food. You're going to always need food, nourishment.
Amen.
You're going to always need the word. And so justification, the first process of salvation. And then the second process we're in right now is sanctification. That's the process of being made holy. And if you want to get technical, the glorification process could be, in a sense, the process has maybe started, in a sense, as we're on our way to pure holiness. So, but I'm going to get to technical on that anyway, but right now, the phase you're in is sanctification, and I always have said that this is a synergistic work. Justification is all monergistic. That's God only working, because he has to raise us from the dead. He has to put within us the drive and the desire to seek him. He does all of that. But then now, once we're justified, once we're made alive, now we're in a phase of sanctification. That's God working in us and then us working with God.
Amen.
Because he doesn't come down and make you act right. What he does is empower you, enable you, strengthen you, give you the desire to do so, but you got to carry it out. And there's no excuse for you, for me, for us when we don't carry out the will of God and we sin instead. There's no excuse for that because we've been empowered to do so. And he said he will not allow you to be tested, tempted, or tried beyond what you can handle. So when the devil is allowed to test you or to tempt you with something evil, and he is allowed to do so to test your faith. When you fail, when I fail, when we fail that test, that's on us. Nope. Flip Wilson, notwithstanding, the devil did not make you do it. He simply offered it. You're the one. I'm the one. We're the one that bit the hook. Remember we said that before. All the devil does is bait the hook. That's all he does. Then he casts the line right in front of you. You like pumpernickel and pastrami with some Dijon mustard and a pickle? That's your sandwich? You're going to be in trouble. He's not going to come at you with bologna or white. Like, man, I don't like no bologna and white with some mayo. Right, that sandwich will never come to you. It's going to always be that one. But when it comes, realize, 1 Corinthians 10, I can handle this. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can handle. That's all involved in that process of sanctification. It's fighting these temptations and fighting the good fight of faith with great agony and zeal and effort, you know, day in and day out. It is a fight. We're in a war. I know you've heard this before, but that's all part of that sanctification process. There's no need of us wishing him to get, just go away or get the devil off my back. That ain't going to happen. You're wasting your time with that prayer. There's no basis for that prayer. Even when you're in the midst of a white hot battle, he even tells you then, if you interpret it correctly, that he will give you a way to escape. Remember, that doesn't mean to run out and get rid of it, but just a little respite from the heat of the battle, where you kind of drop down into your foxhole. Chill out for a minute while the bombs and bullets are still flying overhead. You just get a break. Because then he finishes by saying that you may be able to bear it. Meaning get up out the foxhole, go back into the battle, and finish it through to the end.
Amen.
All that involved is sanctification. Why? Why? Because we got a flesh that's not right. So sanctification is a process, and it is a rough process. Trees are being pruned, in a sense. Our trees, in some body of our lives, are being pruned. Things are being snipped away that are just ugly before God. And the snipping away, the process of snipping away pruning, is not a pleasant process. It's a hard process. Sometimes friends are snipped away that you really, really want to hold on to. Sometimes relationships are snipped away that you really want to keep doing. Some things that you want to keep doing are you told you can't do any longer. And we don't like that. But God is sanctifying us so that we stand out separate and apart and distinct from the world. That's what sanctification is. That's what holiness is. We're not just doing this, I hope and pray. We're not just here on Sunday and then Sunday afternoon, just like the devil, like you never came. That would be so disappointing to me as your pastor. So when I hear things about folks living lives certain ways, and I'm not necessarily talking about here, but just so-called Christian, it just breaks my heart. We're here with purpose, I hope. We're here to learn more, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We're here to learn about who our Father really is, that he is holy and what that means, just scratching the surface of it, that we're sinners and what that means. We know that with great in-depthness, that's the word. And now the hope of it all is his glorification. So we're justified, and we're through the process of sanctification. Sanctification lasts the entire rest of your life, rest of my life, the rest of our lives. Sanctification will never end until we die.
Amen.
Period. There's no such a thing as being sanctified, in a sense, where it's past tense, it's done, it's over. It's a battle. Every day. And I ain't got no good news for you. The more you mature, the heavier the battles. It's not like they get lighter because you become more of a threat to the kingdom. And God knows that you can handle even more. I remember when I was first hearing this, I just got sad. I'm like, where is a Prozac when you need it? Or Xanax or something. Because that's hard for your flesh to hear. But yet it pleases the Lord to bruise us.
Amen.
Because that's my son, that's my daughter. They're bringing me glory when they go through these things. And I'm not talking about go through and complaining and cussing and fussing and all that. That brings him no glory. When I made it through, yeah, but you done cussed everybody out, shot 10 people. You have completely alienated everybody around you, but you made it through. Yeah, but look at all the carnage. That's not pleasing to God.
Amen.
It's when you go through it with spiritual dignity. I'm going to use the word spiritual. Spiritual, don't get away from pride. Spiritual dignity, meaning that you're going through it according to the word of God, according to the plan and the will that God has laid out for you as to how we ought to go through these hard times. We go through focused on him. we go through Hebrews 13:3, I think, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, keeping our eye here as we go through this. And when you have a hard day, realize it's a good day. Amen. The hard days are the best days because those are growing days. Sunny days are vacation days to give you a break. But hard days are the best days. Hard times are the best times. Our flesh don't like to hear that. And I'm not. It don't just bring me great joy telling you that. Because of me, and again, we're going to get into it more and more, in my non-glorified state, you'll hear this probably about 10 more times, again, I identify more with the sin than I do with the holiness of God. Because God, it pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus. But if we would have saw it like regular folk from the outside, like, why are you doing that to him? Beating, he ain't did that to nobody. We don't understand the holiness of God. It demanded that Jesus be treated that way.
Amen.
Please help us understand this, Father God. The ugliness, and I told you, Jesus could have just been beheaded right quick, made it nice and quick. Cut his head off, boom, no pain, nothing. But instead, there was brutal, there was just incredible brutality and torture for hours. Then his death, it takes him 6 hours to die. Imagine dying for 6 hours just in incredible pain. And God just, you know, he just had mercy on him and allowed him after the 6 hour to be done, whereas some of those criminals stayed up there for days on the cross. For days. Why was it so violent? Why was it so brutal? Such incredible brutality. Heaped on one man to let you know, I hate sin. This is sin that is causing this to happen like this. That was by design, not a quick, fast death. It was brutal on purpose for us, for our example. God hates sin. He abhors it. He's foaming at the mouth every day. And that's why the process of glorification must exist. If we're going to hang out with him, a holy God, throughout all eternity. Can we see that?
Amen. Amen.
It's amazing he allows us up in his presence even now with our nastiness. Amen. It is amazing. Amen. And I tell you what, I thank God for this church because here we're putting the amazing back in grace.
Amen.
It is amazing that we're, that he calls us brothers and sisters. Sons and daughters.
Amen.
That's amazing. But I tell you though, I'll tell you what though. Again, we understand it somewhat. It's because we're clothed in his righteousness. Don't get it twisted.
Amen.
The only reason he even acknowledges us is because he's poured on us the blood of Jesus. Amen, Ms. Palmer. And he put on us the robe of righteousness that belonged to Jesus. The blood of Jesus and the robe of Jesus is why we sort of look like Jesus.
Amen.
That's why he even claims us and calls us his own and loves us like no other creature, being, thing on the entire, in the entire universe. There's no love that God, the love that God has for us, he gives that to no one or nothing else. We are uniquely loved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
As undeserving as we are. We've sinned this morning. Let alone last night.
Amen.
Let alone last week. This morning. Some of us probably walking into the church and thought crazy because we maybe had a funky time coming to the church. Woke up, quote unquote, on the wrong side of the bed. And yet here we are. He allows us in his presence to give him praise and glory. And receives it. But we understand, hopefully, a little bit more, this process. He justifies us first and foremost. And now he's sanctifying us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, eventually he will ultimately glorify us. It's incredible. We're just getting started. So sanctification is the final phase, if you will, of the overall salvation process. Does that make sense? The final phase. Glorification, I'm sorry. You're listening. Good. There's justification, removal of the initial removal of sin, and the declaring of folks as being right with God, also known as righteousness. Sanctification is the ongoing process of daily living toward holy living. Always bent toward that. Everything you think, speak, and do is supposed to be geared toward the glory of the holiness of God. And glorification is the final phase where it completely removes sin once and for all and forever from the lives of believers. R.C. Sproul puts it this way: glorification is the finalization and consummation of our sanctification. Now we're going to get to them words. It sounds big and fancy, but so it is the finalization. That's an L. Okay. Finalization and the consummation of our sanctification. So finalization is completion and approval. Completion and approval. So God completes and approves our sanctification in the process of glorification. That's finalization. The other word is consummation, which is perfection and fulfillment. So our glorification is completed and approved, perfected and fulfilled. Our glorification is the completion and approval, perfection and fulfillment of our sanctification. Think about this. You have justification, I'll put it J. You have sanctification. What good is that if you don't have glorification? Because remember, it's all bending toward one thing. It's, lack of a better term, it's all trending towards something. What's the ultimate goal? Is he saving us just to save us? Is he justifying us just to justify us, sanctify us, just to sanctify us? No. He is justifying us and sanctifying us so that we can be glorified. If there isn't the finalization and the consummation of glorification, all the rest of it means nothing. I don't know if you'll get that right now, but just think about that. What good is all of this if we don't have glorification? Just let that sink in for a hot second. That's what's new to me, to understand that. It's like I'm trending, I'm building towards something. And this is it. And thank God he's told us and let us know in plain terms. Yes, I am building toward glorification. That's going to consummate and finalize and complete and approve and fulfill everything else. This is it. This is going to button it down. Like those of you, like you got Fella and you got Chris and others who may be in, like you got projects that you work on, you know. You start off this way and you get your plans out and how you're going to do these things, but eventually you're working toward something, a completion of it, and it must meet with your approval. So you go around and make sure that the buildings are tight and so forth, or that the project has come out right, you know, that your prototype is tight. You go through careful. Well, that's what's happening with us.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a plan here. There's a purpose there that's going to be finalized and consummated, completed, and approved of. And that process is glorification. Because you can sanctify, be separate and set apart, where you still got the flesh hanging on, but that's not going to hang on in the price. That's not going to hang on in the presence of God forever. No, that flesh got to be gone.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what glorification does.
Oh, amen.
Keep hearing. It's going to come. Amen. It's going to come. It's going to come. Just keep listening. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear in Jesus' name. Keep listening. I do my best by Holy Spirit to keep explaining. This is way over our heads. Removal of sin, way over our heads. All we know is sin. All too well. Let's look at some scripture. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Let's do some writing here. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. We're about to see in the Latin, Ordo Salutis. Anybody know what that is? I mentioned it before. Okay. This is the order of salvation. The order of salvation. In other words, the steps. We're going to write them on down. Okay, the order of salvation. So we got Romans 8 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Let's read it through 29 and 30. Then we're going to go back over. Romans 8, 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. So the first step in the order of salvation is foreknowledge. You see that in verse 29? Do you see that in verse 29?
Yes.
Do you see that in verse 29?
Yes.
I got five people. Do you see that in verse 29?
Yes.
Do you see that in verse 29? Hallelujah. Okay. You see, foreknew. Okay. That's the first step. Foreknowledge is not only to know beforehand. That is that. You hear me? It does mean to know beforehand who he's going to call. But this word know carries more than just intellectually knowing. You follow that? It's more, it's that, but it's more than that. Deeper than that, more intimate than that. This word know also carries the idea of how a husband knows a wife in the bedroom. You follow me? Intimate, very intimate. So when he says that those whom he foreknew, it's that he knew beforehand and loved very intimately. Let that hang for a moment. You mean God loves me that intimately before I was ever born? Yes, he did. Maybe doing this right now, but that is profound. To love you that intimately, because that's how much he knew you. That's how much he knew me. That's how much he knew us. Back here in eternity past. He knew and loved you, knew and loved me, knew and loved us intimately, personally, up close. Let that sink in, and that love will never wane. When you have your problem, feeling some type of way, feeling alone, loneliness is a powerful thing. The difference, you all know the difference between being alone and being lonely. You be alone and still not be lonely, but loneliness, it's powerful. Well, if you're born again, God wants you to remember, hey, I know I loved you more than anybody, every human being ever will. But you got to have faith to access that love, in a sense, or to experience that love, because it's already happening all the time, whether you experience it or not. God is still loving you, but we talk about the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus. That's one of them, knowing I'm loved by God and have always been intimately loved by God before I ever existed. And that love never, ever wanes, ever. It's not never dips down to 98% either. 99.9%, Miss Darlene. It's always 100. Excuse me, 100. Excuse me. We say everybody's being urban. Yes. 100. It's never waned. We're the variables. Remember, he's the constant. If he loved you like that then, he still loves you like that now. And I'm going to tell you something else, what's really incredible. Father God, help us to get this in Jesus' name. When we weren't saved yet, when we were out there doing all our dirt, just straight sinning, he was still loving us. Amen. Like that. That's incredible.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know how we do? Man, I'm done with them. We cut them up. We cut folk off in a heartbeat. Man, that Negro ain't got to say nothing to me for the rest of his life. I don't care who he is. I'm done with that. Finish. Finito. And the Lord is saying, slow your roll, Pimp Daddy. Slow your roll. I love your knucklehead behind me. And I love when the Lord be real with me. I don't know if I want to talk to you like that, but I'll be that slow talking real. Use a knucklehead too. Just like the knucklehead you mad at, use a knucklehead too. And what we can do, what slips in, is this air of superiority, just a little bit, and the air of entitlement, and that pharisaical attitude where we feel like we're better than somebody. Uh-oh. And that'll creep in unawares, because he's the most subtle beast of the field.
Amen.
You don't even realize you're thinking that way. But Holy Spirit said, you're starting to get a little high and mighty. And we ought to drop to our knees in the middle of the hallway. Okay, who see us? And said, Lord, Father God, forgive me, because I never want to be like a Pharisee.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Because you know me from the beginning and love me. Help me to know and love other folks too. So that's the first step, foreknowledge. Keep reading. Verse 29. He says, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, what? He predestined. So that's the second one. He predestined us, okay? So let's write up here. Predestined. And you can see that destined, what's the root of that word? Louder. You said, somebody said it? Don't be scared. Destiny. Yes, don't be scared of this. He predestined, or he gave us a destiny before time began. So what it is, he gave us the, determined our lives before the journey began. He knew what the destiny was going to be before the journey ever began. So he predestined us. Okay, and of course, what did he predestine us for eventually? Glorification. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
Y'all just sitting there like, oh, I guess, please. But you know what? I understand. I've been studying this for some months, and when you hear it, you got to keep hearing it. And because it's really, good news. This is security. It's eternal security. It's a warm, fuzzy blanket on a winter night. It's, when you understand this, all the problems that happen in life, they don't still happen, but you're going to have this underlying peace and joy knowing, man, I've been loved forever and I've been predetermined, meaning my destiny I'm going to reach, and nobody is going to stop me from getting to that destiny.
Amen.
No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck us from his hand.
Amen.
Police shootings, redlining, racial profiling, it doesn't make a difference. You'll never keep us from what God has for us.
Amen.
Uneven politics that really leave out black and white, brown, yellow, all of that. No scheme of man is ever going to keep you from what God has predetermined for you, predetermined for me, and predetermined for us.
Amen.
That destiny is set. You and I are going to be glorified. That's the ultimate destiny. I bet you most Christians don't even know what the destiny is. I bet you most don't. Think about that. Oh, no, they didn't go to heaven. They may say, well, we didn't get to heaven. And I'll accept that. But boy, oh boy, the way you get in there is because he's glorified you. All that sin is gone. Let's go to the third one. So he knew he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, so that we would be the firstborn of many brethren. Verse 30. And whom he predestined, he also what? Called. So now he has to call you. I love you and know you. I gave you your destiny, what it's going to be. Now we got to get into the actual workings of getting you to me. So now I got to call you. And this is called an effectual. E-F-F-E-C-T-U-A-L. E-F-F-E. Can you read my own writing? Thank you. That's a, that is an E. E-F-F-E-C-T-U-A-L. That's a shame you don't understand your own writing. So that's an effectual call, meaning the call that he makes is gonna result in the desired effect. Meaning it's gonna work, it's an effective call. It's gonna do what it's designed to do, which is to bring you to him.
Amen.
Some people call this irresistible grace, but I prefer, because irresistible grace puts the onus on the sinner. You know, saying he can't resist you. But I like putting it on God's side. When God calls you, you coming.
Amen.
I'd rather put it that way.
Amen.
I like the effective call. God calls you, you coming. And one of the greatest effective calls ever is the Apostle Paul on his way to kill more Christians, or at least jail more and harass a lot more Christians. On his way to do that, ain't thinking about God. Hear me. Ain't thinking about God. He's against all the things of God. That's why I'm telling you, your sons, your nephews, all your brothers, sisters, uncles, sons, I don't care who it is, when God calls them, they are coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Woo, I feel it in my soul. When God calls, can't nobody do nothing about it. Thank you, Jesus. Let me collect myself. Oh, when God calls. Woo, it's an effective call. Because tried to get, nobody thought you was going to be up in here. Oh, am I preaching to the right place? Glory be to God. That's why Chris said, oh, you mean Paul? Greg, I know he ain't up in here. And Sonny ain't trying to preach to nobody. That dude ain't, no, not him. But God effectively called me.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And predetermined that I would pastor on the way to glorification.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is that effective call. Don't give up on your cousins and your uncles and your aunties and nieces and nephews, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives.
Amen.
It's not about how bad they're living. Apostle Paul was on the way to do more murder. Mm-hmm. Commit more mayhem amongst the people of God. And God slapped him down. Knocked him down. And called him right on the spot.
Amen.
He hit that dude so hard, he broke out from his knees and called him Lord. Lord, what am I supposed to do?
Wow.
How in the world does that happen? The effective call of God is what how it happens.
Amen.
So he foreknows us. He loved Apostle Paul, knowing he's going to murder. He foreknew him and loved him. He predetermined. He gave him the destiny before the journey began. And then he called him. That's the third thing. Then after that, he called. And whom he called, he what? Justified. We talked about that. That's making him declare righteous. Justification or justified.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's a process, baby. That's all monergistic. We ain't got nothing to do with that. And thank God we don't.
Amen.
Because we're dead sinners.
Amen.
How we have something to do with any of this? What you gonna do? You not even existing. Thank God. Love me. How you gonna, you back here? Nobody exists. Nothing exists. This is an eternity past. And he's doing all of this in eternity past. And then he brings it into the natural realm once we're born. This is all God.
Amen.
He justifies us. Now, for some reason, I ain't gonna get into, you know, why you know he didn't mention sanctification here in this process. But we know that exists. We know that. And on the way to justification is sanctification. And then, so then the last one, then according to this one here, order would be glorification. And so, but we know that it would be sanctification be in this order too. So the order of salvation is foreknowledge, God knowing us and loving us intimately before we ever came into existence, giving us a destiny before our journey begins, predetermined, effectually calls us with an effective call that cannot be ignored, that's going to achieve God's desired results. Then he justifies us, removes sin from us. Thank you, Jesus. Clothes us in the righteousness of God. Thank you, in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Accepts us into his presence. Thank you, Jesus. And then says, come to me when you need prayer. I'm listening for your prayers. This is now no longer a throne of wrath. It's now a throne of grace. Come bold up in here.
Amen.
Really?
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And you got the nerve to stick with me and then glorify me, which is the removal of sin throughout it all. Can you see all of this under the holiness of God, as relates to the holiness of God? Because look what it ends in. What good is foreknowledge, predestination, an effectual call, justification, and sanctification if we don't get this here?
Amen.
You see, this brings it all. That's why we say it's the consummation. It is the finalization and the bringing together and the fulfillment and the completion of this entire order, this process. This completes the process. That's a good way of saying that. And thank you, Lord, that we wrote it on the board. This glorification completes the process. The process is completed.
Amen.
Because I got to do all this. I got to do all this. Effectually call you, justify you, sanctify you, and glorify you because of sin. Sin is there because of my holiness, my holy standard. So, effectively calling, justifying you, sanctifying you is to deal with sin, but this is the ultimate. Then I'm going to deal sin, its ultimate blow in your life, and completely remove it. See, dog, this is dealing with sin. I got to pick it out, clothe you, fight you through it to sanctification. Then we're going to ultimately get rid of it. Because all of this is on its way to this. I know I probably said that about 10 times, but I want you to hear that.
Amen.
God is a God of order. He's a God of logic. It may seem illogical to us because we're finite pea-brain minds trying to understand a God who says the ways and thoughts are far above as high as the heavens are above the earth. Remember, the sun is 93 million miles. That's what man said, 93 million miles away. Heaven's even higher than that. So, us trying to understand God, forget it. That's why what he told us in his word is what we're to understand, and that's all we're to understand. And that's enough. Believe me, that's still way more than we can understand. So we got this here. We understand this. Glorification completes the process. It fulfills the process. It perfects the process. In a short time we have. So I like to talk about this here, the order of salvation, as the progression to glorification. All of this is a progression to glorification, known as the Ordo Salutis, or the Order of Salvation. God foreknew us, knowing He was going to glorify us. The destiny was glorification. The call, when we ended glorification. He justified us, sanctified us. You follow that? This is the purpose.
Amen.
He didn't foreknow us and love us intimately just so because we were so cuddly and cute. We weren't. We were dead. Remember, every human being born naturally is still born spiritually. So when God looks out on the corridor of time, if you will, He sees a bunch of dead people. And then He chose who He's going to foreknow and love intimately, give them a destiny, affectionately call them, justify and sanctify them, knowing that ultimately I'm going to glorify them. And that's amazing that that was determined before time began. And I am, you are, we are forever grateful.
Amen.
Forever grateful.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So that's the progression to glorification. How much time we got? Okay, yep, we're past time. We'll stop. That's enough. We'll stop there. Father God, I hope your people can feel or begin to, that joy will begin to bubble up if it isn't already in their hearts. Because this is that joy unspeakable. I mean, this is just, Father God, I don't have no big time words. All I can say, this is fantastic. This is like, wow, you know, zippity doo-dah. And I know all that fall way short of how to really express it, but this is fantastic. That you would foreknowledge, love us intimately, and know us personally before we ever were in existence. And then gave us a destiny. Before it ever began. And then guarantees that we're going to reach that destiny. And then you go out and make it happen. You call us with an effectual call.
Amen.
Then you have to learn to justify us, remove our sin, our smelly, stinky sin, take off those rotten, nasty clothes, and put on the robe of righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That belongs to Jesus, and just cover us in His blood.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
To effectively remove the penalty of sin from our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And you sanctify us. You stand there with us, man. We up and down, we sideways doing things, good days, bad days, good seconds, bad seconds. I mean, Father, we can be good 1 second and a demon the next second. And there you are, loving us all the same.
Amen.
Wow. Really? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
And you stay with us. And you said, I will never leave you. No, not ever. No, not ever. No, not ever will I leave you nor forsake you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. Wow, you still make those promises after knowing what's in our heart. Wow. Really? And then you complete and fulfill and perfect and approve of the entire process.
Amen.
By glorifying us. And removing sin once and for all from our lives.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Eternally. For that we are forever grateful.
Thank you, Lord.
We're forever grateful. As the song says, Jesus, we simply say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.